What we are doing, it's called Ancient Words. We're taking a look at some ancient prayers. In particular, this time, we're looking at the prayer of St. Patrick. And we're breaking it down, and then we're comparing it to Scripture and the like to give us words for our journey. And a particular part of the prayer that we're going to read today is a prayer for protection against the self, against the gods of the self. There are only two religions. There are only two. Either God is God or you are God. That's it. Either God is elevated or you are elevated. Either we do the will of God or we do our own will. And it's amazing to me. You hear the story of Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. He humbled himself, becoming like a man. And he even humbled himself further, dying for us. Jesus, who was God, who is God, and who will always be God, humbled himself for us. And that was very nice of him, considering that we have been trying to elevate ourselves above him ever since. We've been trying to act like we're God when God humbled himself. It's a weird thing, thinking you're God, but people do. And even the people that don't think they think they're God act like they were God because they put their will above that of God. We have some visitors with us that were friends of ours when we lived in West Virginia. And that's where I get the accent and all. Anyway, I got to teach a couple of classes there at West Virginia University. And went in one day. It was a morning class. Nobody likes early morning classes, not even the teachers. So I go in. I'm the first one there. And I just sit in a chair. I don't get up front or whatever. I just sit in a chair. Here comes in this girl. She's still wearing her pajamas. And her hair's all over. And she's just barely stumbling in, and she just plops in a chair and puts her head down. And I'm thinking, well, that's interesting. After a while, she raises her head. She looks over at me. She doesn't know me. She goes, are we going to need paper? I said, I don't think it'll help. And she just put her head down, and true enough, it didn't. I'm a prophet. There it worked. But as others came in, I just started a discussion. Again, they didn't know who I was. They assumed I was just one of the old guys that come back to college. And so I'm sitting there talking to them, and I always steer the conversation a certain way because somebody's going to say it. It's stupid, but somebody will say it. This one girl said, well, I think we're all God. I looked at her and I said, so you're God. She blinked a bit because you're not wanting to get specific on this point, but she'd already said it. So she said, well, yes. I said, well, you're not very good at it, are you? And she's offended, you know. And I said, no, come on, if you're God, what are you doing in a small windowless room arguing with an old guy? Why aren't you at Disney World? Why don't you own Disney World? Why isn't your life Disney World? And instead, this is your life. Are you God? Of what value is it to be God? And we go from there. But that's really the whole question, isn't it? Are you God or is God God? Who gets to be elevated here? Jesus, as we showed in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, humbled himself. What does the devil do? It's in Isaiah 14, first service. I said Isaiah 12 because I don't like them. I sent them to the wrong place. No, I just made a mistake. It's Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14. Now, that may or may not be talking about the devil, but most of us think it is. Where he comes in and he goes, I will put myself here. No, no, I will go higher. No, no, I will go higher. And he tries to elevate himself above God. He didn't like God's plan. He didn't like the way God set up this thing. He was going to go above God. That kind of attitude won't get past God's secretary. I can just see her pushing a button. There he goes. Next thing you know, he's on earth. He's not happy to be on earth. This wasn't what he wanted. He wanted to be above God's throne. You see him dance, angry. I don't know if you talk when you're angry like this, but I'm sure he does. You know, who does he think he is? God? Well, yes, he is. And that's the whole point. And then he realizes, wait a minute, God being righteous could not handle sin in heaven. He kicked me out. So, here are two human beings, the only two human beings. He loves these people. But if I can get them to rebel, he's got to kick them out as well. But he's got to find a way to approach them. Now, you just don't walk up to people and say, you want to rebel against God. You got to be more subtle. So he has to use a costume. You don't want to show up as the devil. You know, the name tag will give you away. So he goes, he finds you. I can almost see him saying a pony. No, not mean enough. You know, an elephant. No, too big. You know, Elvis. No, wait, that's later. And then he gets a snake suit on and he goes and talks to Adam and Eve. And he says, you can learn. You can be. You can have, your mind can be expanded. You can know right from wrong. You can make your own decisions. You can be in charge of your life. You can be enlightened. You can be wise. All you've got to do is eat the fruit. They say, well, we're not supposed to do that. And he goes, oh, come on. Did God really say you weren't supposed to eat the fruit? Come on. It's been retranslated so many times. How do you know that's what he really said? You know, or something to that effect. And they eventually say, okay, and eat the fruit. And we're all suffering because of it. But it would be really handy if we could say that's the cause of all our problems right there. But as was read to us in James chapter 1, we're led away by our own lust. We're led away by our own drives and desires. I got a question this last week by somebody who said, is all sin due to the devil? And the answer is no. The Bible says we have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Devil's part of sin. Yeah, that's true. But most of the time, we don't need the devil to sin, do we? Because our own appetites and our own drives, the God in the mirror, that's the God most of us serve. And if you say that you don't, I'm really going to worry about you, because most of us catch ourselves doing it from time to time. Serving a God in the mirror. God likes what we like. He thinks what we think. He wants what we want. That's called rebellion. And that rebellion of mankind, we've never gotten past it. We've never moved on. We still struggle with it. In fact, John says, if you say you don't struggle against it, you're lying. And there's no truth in you. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, he warns you that you really don't need the devil to fall away. He says this, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does not come from the Father, but from the world. Again, everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Do you need help to sin? James chapter 1, as was read to us, we're led away. We're led away like prisoners of our own desires. You know what that's like. If you've gotten into debt buying your own desires, and now what are you doing? You're having to work to try to pay off somebody else, because they own part of your time now. They own part of your life because your desires led you away into slavery. By the way, we're starting Financial Peace University again here the middle of September for 13 weeks. Take the course. Learn how to be free. But what happens if it's not money? What happens if it's sex or power or whatever? It could be whatever it is to you. Your leadings are going to be different than mine. The world won't warn us, but the Book of Common Prayer does. An old book of prayers, and if you were handed that little sheet when you came in, if you got past the cookie table and all the little kids in orange t-shirts, and you got one of those little sheets, on the front of it is a very edited version of a long prayer out of the Book of Common Prayer. It's the first time we get the phrase, the world, the flesh, and the devil, our enemies. Watch out for these. This is a fire within us. James says that the tongue is a fire. Marshall Keble, an old-time African-American minister, said something to the effect of, if the tongue wasn't so dangerous, God wouldn't have put it in a cage of teeth. It is dangerous, isn't it? Anybody in here wanted to say something this last week that you knew you couldn't or shouldn't say? Did anything get past the cage? Oh, how about this morning? No, we're not going to get that specific. Where were you between the hours of? It is difficult. It's a fire. And our heart is dangerous. And so God has put a cage around it as well. Be very careful. The lady says in Song of Solomon to the other girls, be very careful what you do with your heart and to whom you give your heart and how soon you give your heart. It's a dangerous thing. God says we are sinners. We are fallen. Now, the high priest of the world disagree. The high priest of the world are humanists, they're secularists, they're progressives that will say, no, 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 no. What you are is you are esteemed. You were born perfect. You need to find your potential. You are wonderful. We just got to get rid of the problems of ignorance and poverty. Well, I'm all against ignorance and poverty, but that doesn't solve the human issue. And you can take a thug and educate them, and you have an educated thug. You don't have a perfect human being. We need to understand we are fallen. We are not gods. We cannot compete with our God. Most of us have experienced something else in this. We don't believe we're perfect. For example, I didn't need to teach my children how to be selfish. They picked up on that pretty quick. Did yours? Did you have to say, son, quit. You're obeying me again. You're sharing. We've talked about this. There's a wonderful word. I want you to say it all the time. Mine. Did you teach your children the word mine, or did they pick it up on their own? Yeah, I know. I can still remember the first day that came out of Kara's mouth. And my wife and I looked at each other and going, you did it. I didn't do it. It's your child, not mine. You know, the word just leaps out. There's a really scary verse about this in 1 Samuel 15, verses 22 and 23. God had told Saul what to do. Didn't seem right to Saul. So Saul did something else. He tried to justify it. He even said, I did it for God. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 and 23, Samuel goes to Saul and says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You may as well be a full-blown witch, rebelling against God, as to ever go to God and said, you said, but I believe this, or I want to do this instead. Either God is God or you are God. Those are the two religions. And if you go against God, you have fallen as if you're a witch. Think about how frightening this is. The world wants to tell you that you're divine. The problem is you just forgot you were divine. I got a question for you. What kind of God are you if you can forget your God? It's like people really believe that one day somebody's going to lean up to them on a train station and go, you're a wizard, Harry. You know, and they're going to, woo, I'm God, you know, and I can do all. No, life doesn't work that way. I know when I was a wee boy, I'd sit on the curb hoping that my rich, real parents would show up. Of course, they put me there hoping that somebody else would show up. But the point still valid. You are who you are, and you are not God. The two facts of the universe. There is a God. You're not Him. How does the world get you? How does the world get you to listen to doctrines of demons? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Know this, that in the latter days some will depart from the faith, giving heed to the doctrines of demons. How do you do that? Well, first of all, you have to throw a doubt on truth. Now, today, people will say there is no absolute truth. Of course, that statement is absolute, and they hate it when you bring that up. But there is no absolute truth. You know, there are a lot of things that are not absolute. Absolutely. What you eat today, what kind of clothes you wear, there's not a whole lot of truth issues involved in these things. And whether we sing an old song or a new song, not a lot of truth issues in this. But there are truths that you can't, that they're not. They're there, people. Gravity is not optional. As some of you who are older know, it's not even fun. It's not your friend. Oh, you think it is when you're a kid and you throw a ball up and it comes down. But later on in life, you realize some other properties. And you don't care for it much. What are we going to do with this? How are we going to deal with the fact of truth? They're going to say there is none. Again. Told this story a few years ago, but years ago I went to teach at a university. I'll be away today and teaching tomorrow at Ohio State University, which isn't a real college, but anyway, I'll be there all day. I went into a university and I was there early. I'm always there early, as my wife will attest. I am early man. So I got there and the room was already being used, and so I just sat through the class, and it was a beginning philosophy class. You could tell because the teacher was wearing a tweed coat with leather patches. They always do. And he's giving them rubbish, but I'm trying to be good. And I was good until he told the stupid Buddha story. Now that's not the name of the story, but that's what it should be named. The whole point of the story is to get you to deny or to doubt that there is such a thing as absolute truth. So here's the way it goes. One time Buddha was meditating and he fell asleep and he dreamed he was a butterfly. That's not the important bit. When he woke up, he wondered, am I a man who dreamed I was a butterfly? Or am I a butterfly dreaming I am a man? Ooh. And everybody in the class, the whole point is to strip away from all the kids that whose parents are sending them there the concept of truth. My hand went up. He didn't know me. He thought I was a midlife crisis returnee, you know, safe to call on him. I stood up. I said, well, to form a visual requires about 100,000 synapses, minimum. And if you want the visual to be in color and move, a minimum of 250,000 synapses, 500,000 would be a lot better. Now, butterflies, according to the species, they differ, but no butterfly has more than 5,000 synapses. Therefore, they cannot form a visual. Therefore, they cannot dream. Therefore, you're a man dreaming you're a butterfly. And I sat down. I don't mean to be rude, but there are some stories that need to be drug behind the barn and shot in the head. This is one of them. Well, he went on that I had missed the point of the story, and the point of the story is that everything is a figment of our imagination. My hand went up. He had to call on me because the kids were watching me now. I said, are you a figment of my imagination? He said, yes. Oh, it got better. I said, there's a table in front of you. Is that a figment of my imagination? And he said, yes. I said, so what would happen if I picked up the table and hit you with it? Would it hurt? By the way, that's a massive philosophical problem. And I knew it was. It's one that he's been reading books about, but he couldn't explain it. So he just kind of thought for a while, and I said, I imagine it would. He went on a 10-minute tear with graphs and everything. I wish you could have seen it. I wish we could have put it on YouTube. It was a brilliant thing about how we can't know anything for sure. I raised my hand. I said, how do you know? He dismissed the class the 10, 15 minutes early. I got them. We talked. People, there are some things that are true. There are things that are true whether you like it or not, whether it's convenient for you or not, whether you would have chosen it that way or not. There are things that are true, and God is truth. And when God speaks, it is truth. It is not negotiable. And it is not relative. God tells me to be good to the poor. It doesn't mean if they're deserving and if I feel like it and if I've got extra money. I'm good to the poor. If it tells me to love my wife, it doesn't mean if she loves me back, if she treats me the way I want to be treated, if I got what I wanted for dinner. No. He said, love her. That's truth. It's not negotiable. The world wants to strip away the concept of Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And to do it, they've got to question truth. And they'll also try to tell you that God is impersonal. He's just this big force up there somewhere. Doesn't really have a personality. God is Buddha. God is Allah. God is... Why do they say in all of this? It's not so that you'll love each other. That would be nice, but that's not it. It is so that you won't have a God that has a personality and an opinion. I hear people all the time, and I work with scientists, and they'll say, Einstein believed in God, Stephen Hawking believes in God. They don't believe in our God. They believe in a big force in the universe with no personality, and they call that God. Why is it so important that God have no personality? Because if he has a personality, then he has an opinion, and he has morality, and he has statements, and you can get on the good side or the bad side of him, and they don't want that kind of God. And so Disney will even put out a thing about Pocahontas, which is historically inaccurate, surprisingly enough, where she will sing a song that all our little kids were singing back in those days about every tree and every rock and every stream has a name and a personality. No, it doesn't. I've even met some people I'm questioning about the personality bit. Remember that old Phil Collins song, Two Hearts Sharing Just One Mind? I've met that couple. No, God has a personality. God is something that demands thought and intent from you. And so what do our movies do? You even have Star Wars movies. And they have this little animated wart called Yoda. And what does he do? He looks at Luke and says, "Don't think. Be stupid. Go into battle just feeling." Who came up with that plan? You don't go into battle just feeling. You got to think. But the world will say, "Don't think, just do. Just be." Really? You know something? We're more important than a rock. We think, we intend, and we act, because God is God and we are made in His image, but we are not Him. St. Patrick knew that we could fall victim to our own lust. We could easily fall into that other religion. We tend to think we're pretty good. Everybody else's sins are really awful, but our sins aren't that bad. They're kind of bad, but not that bad. God doesn't look at things that way. How seriously do we take sin? Now, before I even talk about that, you need to understand there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Amen, church? Anybody else glad about the forgiveness in Jesus Christ thing? Yeah, me too. It's on all my business cards. No, actually, on my business cards, it just says treated and released. But grace is a big thing, people. It is. I got an email this morning. Somebody sent it awfully early. But I got it this morning when I came into the office just before 8 o'clock. And it said, "I was sexually rebellious in my younger years. Can God ever forgive me?" I took time to reply, "Yes, yes, yes," in big capitals. Yes! That's the whole point of God, is that He is there wanting to forgive us. There's grace for us. But I got to ask you, does that make us be very casual about sin? How serious are you about your sin? How do you feel about your failure to be kind? How do you feel about your failure to control your temper? How do you feel about your laziness? Your lack of giving? How do you feel? God told us to use our language only to build each other up. How's that been going with your life? Is that the way you've been using your language? Are you okay with this? How seriously do we take God's laws about money and sex and covenant and promise and behavior? How seriously do we take these? Have we fallen into the other religion and elevated ourselves rather than God? What a tragedy that would be. For 2 Peter chapter 3 warns us what's going to happen. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth, everything in it, burned up. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? He goes on to answer, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire. The elements will melt in the heat, but in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Which religion are you in? Would you bring your team on up, Jeremy, please? Choose your religion carefully. Jesus was already God. He didn't have to become God. Remember, He was God, or think about becoming God one day. He was God. And yet He humbled Himself for us. Because of this, we're baptized and our sins are forgiven. We worship Him and we come to Him and saying, get us through this day, as St. Patrick's prayer did. Keep me from lust. Keep me from being drug away by my own vice. Instead, help me to remember that God is God. And we will bow before Him. While the world will say there is no truth, He has given us truth. Jesus said the words that He speaks, those will judge us in the last day. He said, thy word is truth, speaking to God. We have the ancient words of God. We will not be pulled into the other religion. Amen, church? Let's stand and sing.